What if a single dose of medicines could effectively cure a chronic, painful genetic disease? This week, we saw the first ever successful phase 3 trial for a CRISPR gene editing therapy that does just that, achieving a staggering 87% reduction in attacks. This isn't science fiction anymore. It's a commercial reality on the horizon. But can we actually manufacture these miracle cures at scale? That's the billion-dollar question we're tackling today. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology shaping global business. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we're diving deep into one of the most transformative sectors in technology, cell and gene therapy. A flood of news, from stunning clinical breakthroughs to a massive surge in M&A, signals a major inflection point. The science is working. Now, the challenge is shifting from the lab to the factory floor. We'll explore what this industrialization of biology means for US and European companies, where the new bottlenecks are, and how executives can position themselves to win in this new landscape. Troy, let's start with the biggest headline. Intellia Therapeutics reported what they're calling paradigm-shifting data. What exactly did they announce?
They announced results from the phase 3 HALEO trial for lonvo-gurin ziclomerin, or lonvo-z. It's an in vivo CRISPR gene editing therapy for a rare genetic disease called hereditary angioedema, or HAE.
Break that down for us. In vivo CRISPR?
It means they edit a patient's genes directly inside their body with a single intravenous infusion. The therapy targets and inactivates a specific gene in the liver. The results were astounding, an 87% reduction in monthly HAE attack rates. Even more impressively, 62% of patients were completely attack-free over a six-month period. This is the first successful phase 3 trial for this type of therapy, a massive validation for the entire field.
A one-time dose that acts as a functional cure. Why is this specific news so important globally this week?
Because it proves the technology is ready for prime time. It's not just Intellia. This week, uniQure announced the FDA will accept its 3-year phase 1-2 data for a Huntington's disease gene therapy, AMT-130, for an accelerated approval filing. And UK-based Autolus Therapeutics reported positive early data showing its CAR-T therapy, obe-cel, is effective in severe lupus. The clinical dam is breaking.
So how does this wave of clinical success specifically affect US and European manufacturers?
It creates an immediate and massive supply chain challenge. These aren't simple pills. They are complex biologics that rely on highly specialized components like lipid nanoparticles, or LNPs, and GMP-grade enzymes. Current global capacity to produce these materials at the required quality and scale is nowhere near sufficient to meet the coming demand.
What should Western trading companies and distributors be focused on?
Sourcing and logistics. There will be a premium on securing reliable supplies of high-purity lipids, nucleic acids, and other raw materials for this manufacturing process. Furthermore, the logistics are incredibly complex, requiring cryopreservation and a meticulously controlled cold chain. Companies that can provide validated end-to-end logistics solutions for these living medicines will be indispensable.
So the actionable insight for executives?
Start mapping this emerging value chain immediately. Whether you're in specialty chemicals, logistics, or industrial automation, the demand for your services is about to spike. Identify where your core competencies can serve this new manufacturing paradigm and build partnerships now, before these therapies get full approval.
This brings us to the industrial side of the equation. A new PwC report out on June 17th says the biopharma M&A market has returned to full health, with 16 deals over $1 billion in Q1 2026 alone. Is this just about buying new drugs?
It's much deeper than that. While portfolio replenishment is a driver, the subtext of this M&A boom is a scramble for manufacturing capability. A separate report from Financier Worldwide notes that manufacturing complexity and cost remain the key constraints to commercial scalability. Big Pharma is acquiring not just science, but solutions to industrial problems.
Can you give me a specific example?
Look at Celerares. They call themselves an Integrated Development and Manufacturing Organization, or IDMO. They just expanded their Series D funding to $327 million with backing from ARK Invest. They have a $380 million manufacturing agreement with Bristol-Myers Squibb and another with Cabaletta Bio. Their entire model is based on automating cell therapy production in a closed platform called the Cell Shuttle.
So for a European robotics company or a U.S. process control software firm, what's the angle here?
The opportunity is to become a supplier to these new manufacturing platforms.
The cell therapy factory of the future looks more like a semiconductor fab than a traditional pharma plant. It needs advanced robotics, fluidics, sensors, and machine learning for quality control. Companies like Solaris and Ori Biotech, who both received the FDA's Advanced Manufacturing Technology designation, are setting the standard.
What should trading companies and distributors take away from this?
The market for the picks and shovels of this gold rush is consolidating around these automated platforms. Distributing the specialized consumables, reagents, and machine components for these closed systems will be a key business. Building relationships with these platform leaders is critical, as they will dictate the technical standards for the entire ecosystem.
So the actionable insight is to approach this as an advanced manufacturing and industrial tech play, not just a biotech one.
Exactly. Executives should be asking how their automation, software, or specialty materials can solve the core problems of consistency, cost, and scale in this new industry.
Beyond scaling up, we're also seeing news about fundamental improvements to the core technologies. What's happening at the Broad Institute?
They've achieved a major breakthrough in prime editing. This is a more advanced gene editing technique, often described as a genetic search and replace function, which can make a wider variety of precise changes than standard CRISPR. The key advance, published on June 15th, is a new optimized lipid nanoparticle system to deliver the prime editing machinery in vivo much more efficiently.
And LNPs are the delivery vehicle. We're seeing a lot of innovation there.
A tremendous amount. Researchers at the University of Houston just discovered that simply adding salt to LNP formulations can dramatically boost their efficiency in getting genetic cargo into cells. It's a simple, low-cost process enhancement with huge implications. And we're seeing entirely new modalities, like Sonothera, which just raised $125 million to use ultrasound for non-viral gene delivery, and Porto Biotechnologies, which raised $9 million for its mechanoperation platform and has already partnered with Merck and AbbVie.
For U.S. and European manufacturers, what does this diversification of technology mean?
It means the manufacturing inputs are changing. A move away from complex and expensive viral vectors towards synthetic delivery systems like LNPs or physical methods creates opportunities for different types of suppliers. This is a chance for specialty chemical and lipid manufacturers, as well as makers of precision hardware like ultrasound transducers, to enter the market.
So for distributors, this isn't a one-horse race.
Not at all. The future will likely involve a mix of delivery technologies tailored to specific diseases and tissues. A smart sourcing strategy would involve building a portfolio of capabilities across different platforms, sourcing high-purity lipids for LNPs, specialized polymers for other non-viral systems, and the enzymes for various editing technologies. Market timing will depend on tracking which of these platforms gains clinical traction.
So the actionable takeaway for executives is to stay flexible?
It is. They need to invest in scouting these next-generation editing and delivery technologies. A partnership or small investment today in a platform that lowers the cost of goods by an order of magnitude could provide a massive competitive advantage tomorrow. Don't bet the farm on today's leading technology.
All right, Troy, let's bring it all together. Based on this week's intelligence, what are the key strategic takeaways for our listeners?
I see three clear conclusions. First, the clinical proof is undeniable. Groundbreaking therapies, from Intellia's CRISPR cure to uniQure's Huntington's treatment, are moving toward commercial reality. This is creating an imminent and massive demand shock for a supply chain that barely exists. Second, manufacturing is the new battleground. The central challenge has shifted from scientific discovery to industrial-scale production. Success will be defined by those who can solve the bottlenecks of cost, quality, and scale, with automation being the critical enabler. And third, the underlying technology is evolving rapidly. Next-generation editing and delivery systems are emerging that will disrupt the current disruptors, potentially lowering costs and broadening applications.
So, what is the single most important action Western executives should consider now?
They must perform a strategic audit of their company's core capabilities, be it in material science, automation, software, or logistics, and aggressively map those capabilities to the new cell and gene therapy value chain. This is no longer a niche biotech story. It is the beginning of a new industrial revolution in medicine, and the time to find your entry point is now.
And that's our briefing for this week. The industrialization of biology is here, and it will reshape manufacturing and technology for decades to come. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Susie.
Be sure to subscribe to Troy Technical Intelligence on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen, so you never miss a strategic update.
We'll be back next week with more analysis of the technology driving global competition.